behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bolin.
Ben, we've got a listener suggestion again today, right?
Yes, we do.
This one comes from Christopher Mann. And Christopher Mann, this is quite a while ago, actually.
Is this a deep cut?
Yeah, it's kind of a deep cut, but you know what? We've got so many that are lined up in the queue that, Christopher, apologize it took us this long, but we're going to talk today about Tesla Motors.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got three products out there right now at this point?
Yeah, and more proposed.
Yeah, lots more proposed, as a matter of fact, as we'll find out. And there's some new news that we want to get into, and just kind of the company overall, as we've done with many other companies on the mm-hmm. show, right?
Yes, and what we'll start with, just real quick, somebody on the off chance that anybody who would listen to our show is saying, Tesla Motors, what's that? I really doubt there's anyone in our audience who's thinking that, but just in case, Tesla Motors is what would be fairly called an upstart car company based in the United States that is producing electric vehicles.
All electric vehicles.
All electric vehicles. Mm-hmm. No one flagship electric vehicle and the rest, typical IC vehicles. Mm-hmm. This was founded by a fellow named Elon Musk and a fellow named Martin Eberhard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Elon Musk is probably the person that most folks are going to associate with Tesla Motors. He's sort of the Henry Ford of the operation.
Sure. He's the one that you always see in the press conferences and, mm-hmm. and making all the public announcements, right?
Absolutely. Martin Eberhard had moved on. He was the CEO for a time, and later he transferred to the advisory board. And at this point, from what I can tell, they're not on the best of terms.
No, I don't think so. I think there's a little bit of controversy going on within their ranks. And mm-hmm. you know what? Let's leave that
let's
to
table that.
Exactly. We'll table that. Let people look that up. You know, whatever they want. We should say that the headquarters for Tesla are in Palo Alto, California.
Yep.
And they've got three products that they currently are making, or that they two that they're currently making, one that's on its way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if that's the right way to say it. I mean, there's some strange things happening. So there's the Tesla Roadster,
right?
There's the Tesla Model S, yep. And then there's soon to be the Tesla Model X. And I promise we'll talk about all three of those.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got something. We should talk just a little bit more about the company before we get into the actual products. The number of employees, I'm going to say right around 3,000 employees.
Yeah.
So it's not a huge, huge company, but it's growing. It's growing fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's publicly traded on the NASDAQ, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, they're partially owned by, or actually they sell battery packs to Toyota and Daimler AG.
Right, yeah, which is a very smart thing to do for a company in that position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a small company, which is a smaller company, and you have any ability to monetize some of the products in your more complex product. Now, the Tesla Roadster was the first vehicle they came out with.
Mm-hmm.
And the Tesla Roadster was not universally lauded. They focused on wealthy early adopters, right?
Very wealthy.
Very early as well. And, very forgiving, but they weathered the storm. Now, you and I have always said, especially me, I'm a bit cantankerous about this. When new technology comes out, I usually don't want to be the first person to buy it if it's expensive, because I just assume that it's more likely to break.
Yeah, and that's when they're working out the flaws, when they're working mm-hmm. out the bugs in the design. Also, as time goes on, as you and I both know, everybody knows really that the price will eventually drop. It's going to come down. And I mean, if you want one prime example or two prime examples, mm-hmm. look at digital cameras. Look at flat screen televisions. You know, the HD televisions that we've got now. Those things were $15,000 at one point for a 30-inch screen. They've dropped down to, you know, you can buy them in Kroger now for $100. It's an amazing drop in price, and we all know why that happens. Supply, demand, the way that, you know, the technology progresses so quickly, it's easy to reproduce. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different factors that lead to that.
Economy of scale.
I'm not going to say that, you know, a Tesla Roadster is going to be super
$100
cheap
at Kroger.
No, exactly. but I'm saying that, you know, it's not going to be maybe the $130,000 that it is right now.
Right. That's a good point. And just to put a button on that thing that I mentioned earlier, selling the batteries is a very smart move because it allows them to continue monetizing all of the research they had to do to get batteries efficiently working mm-hmm. in the first place. That's one of the earlier criticisms about the Tesla Roadster, you know, was the battery bank.
Sure. Well, you know, they do batteries very well now. And as is, you know, testified to by the fact that they're selling to Toyota, they're selling to Daimler AG, and they've got this fantastically well-promoted, exciting new model that they've got out, the Model S. I mm-hmm. mean, there's a lot of buzz about this vehicle right now, which I promise we're going to get to.
Yes.
But, you know, back to the cost of these things just quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk, or am I saying that right? Elon Musk.
Elon
I think is how
Musk.
It is. Yeah, I'm going to mess that up a couple times. So Elon Musk, his aim is, as he said, you know, on his own, he said his aim is to eventually mass produce a fully electric car that the average consumer can afford.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of this stuff that we're seeing now, everything that, you know, that Tesla Motors is doing now is leading up to kind of, you know, the way we talked about, you know, the televisions coming down in price, the cameras coming down in price, you know, whatever that
mm-hmm.
is, watches.
Right.
Any object. But right now, I mean, I'll tell you the honest truth. Electric cars are expensive. They're not terribly cheap. And, you know, with all the different, tax credits and all that, it gets very confusing. But, you know, they're still a pretty expensive venture, you know, something that, you know, you would have to really plan in order to jump into this thing.
Right. That's a good point. And it may remain that way for some time.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, let's just say good electric cars are very expensive. How about that? If you want to buy something that's, and I know you're
all right. No, it's fair.
Okay, fair enough. But
if you want to buy something that doesn't break, you have to pay extra.
That's exactly it. You pay for quality. You pay for what you get, right?
Yes. And I will say that despite some of the valid criticisms about the initial foray of Tesla Motors with the Roadster, which just to drop some dates there, deliveries of the Tesla Roadster began around July of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all very recent history. And the Roadster has some things that I like. You know, 0 to 60 mph are 97 kilometers in under 4 seconds.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. There's not even gasoline in that
car.
That's
actually really fast.
Yeah. And just a side note, I am going to try to include things in the metric system from now on.
Oh, thank you, Ben.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, hopefully,
that shouldn't confuse things too much, right? Because we've got a lot of numbers to go over here.
Yeah, I'll include both numbers, but I won't say which are which. So listeners at home,
fair enough.
Just put a check mark by which one you think I said. So anyway, there are some great things about this. We talked about the acceleration. We talked about the pricing of the car, which, as we said, is pretty,
well, it's steep.
It's steep.
It's, I
There's
mean,
no way around it.
The Roadster right now is about $128,500. And, you mentioned it's quick, but it does get, it gets more than 200 miles per charge, something mm-hmm. around like 245, I think is what it is. An all electric sports car. It looks really cool. I mean,
it looks so cool.
It's based on the Lotus Elise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, it's been around for a while. I think the prototypes came out in around 2006.
Yeah.
They recently stopped selling them. And I was kind of wondering why this was going on, but I guess they stopped selling them because there is a shortage in the Lotus Elise gliders, as they call them, the cars that are the donor cars, I guess, for the Tesla
yeah.
Roadster. They've run out of their supply because they had a contract with Lotus to create these things, and I guess the contract ran out and there's some kind of problem going on. I don't know exactly what's happening there
mm-hmm.
between them, but they just have run out of these donor vehicles. Otherwise, they still would be producing the Roadster. And I think there's a plan to bring the Roadster back very soon.
So it may just be on hiatus.
I think that's what's going on. Yeah.
Can we talk about the engine just a little bit?
Yeah, let's do it. Well, how about the motor?
Oh,
I got you. That's the first one. I got you.
Yeah, you got me. We have talked before about slipping with the engine and the motor. It's very easy.
That's
for
very
me
simple.
To volunteer.
I do that when I'm writing a lot.
So, I don't believe it. You're too good.
It's true. I do it.
That's crazy, Ben.
Yeah.
But, so we know that, as you pointed out, it is a motor. It is an electric induction motor. It is super light as well. I think everybody else who's used to the weight of an IC motor is gonna, IC engine. Oh my gosh.
See, you did it.
I'm gonna make it through this. Point being, the Tesla Roadster motor only weighs 70 pounds.
Not bad.
And it, its top speed is somewhere around 130 miles per hour.
Yeah, yeah. Now, okay, I do have to counterbalance this with the idea that the battery pack is something like 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, the battery weighs a lot. That's the downside of this whole thing.
The energy storage system.
And maybe not in the Roadster. I'm not sure exactly how much the Roadster battery weighs. I've got the numbers
here
somewhere.
No, you're right. It's about 1,000 pounds in total.
All right, about 1,000 pounds, and then you got the 70-pound motor. But still, overall, this is a very efficient package because you know the way the Lotus Elise is designed. It's designed for speed. It's very low weight. Very small, very
low to the ground,
very minimalist design. I mean, it's really a smart design, I guess, from Lotus. And, it was very clever of Tesla to use that as their base for the Roadster.
Mm-hmm. So just a couple more stats about the induction motor within the Roadster. It can go to 13,000 RPM.
That's pretty high up there.
Yeah, when you consider, I mean, by comparison, what could a combustion engine that size?
Well, that's almost like motorcycle revving. You know, that's
a good point.
That level of spinning, I suppose.
Yeah, because
there's probably a better way to say that.
That level of spinning, that's pretty good.
That's a high RPM level.
Yeah, you know what? That is the estimated range: 250 miles on a single charge.
Not bad.
Not bad, not bad. The thing that always gets me a little bit about the idea of range is that there are far fewer opportunities to charge that kind of car.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've got quite a bit of information here about range and charging and all that.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to get to that later. Let's move on to the Model S.
Let's move on.
And the X, and then we'll talk about the future products and all that. But I do want to talk about charging because that becomes that's really the crux of my argument against this whole thing. So, boy,
all right.
When I get to that, I'm going to have to preface it with something. But let's talk about the Model S because that is popular. Like it. I like the looks of it. I like the way it. I like the way it appears. I like the way it looks on the road. I don't know if I would buy one myself. Not yet.
Because of the price
and
a little bit of the infrastructure, which, as you said, we'll get to. Tesla Model S came out in 2012. Mm-hmm. Deliveries began in June of that year.
Mm-hmm.
The Tesla Model S is much more of a family car than the Roadster.
Well, sure. It's four doors?
Yeah,
you can
actually fit a family in
it. It's an all-electric sedan. Well, they're expensive, as we mentioned. They range anywhere from $71,000 for the base model up to $96,000 for the performance model.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of depends on the battery selection, which we'll talk about later. Anywhere from 60 kilowatt hours up to 85 kilowatt hours.
Mm-hmm.
And it's won some major awards already, which is pretty impressive. Major awards. I always think of Christmas Story when I hear it say that. But,
it won the possibly the best review the Consumer Auto Guide had ever written.
That's true. What did they say about that? Do you remember?
They said, this might not be the best car we've ever driven or reviewed, but it's one of them.
It's way up there, which is...
They did everything except say, this is the best car.
That's pretty impressive, really, for a brand new car, especially a brand new all-electric sedan like this. I mean, I don't know if anybody really expected it to be that, you know, highly lauded at this point. It won the 2013 Motor Trend Car of the Year, the 2013 World Green Car Award, Automobile Magazine's Car of the Year, Time Magazine's Best 25 Inventions of the Year 2012 Award. So it's got some major victories under its belt already. And I tell you, the Model S is extremely popular. The sales are good. It's topping Chevy and Volt and Nissan, the Chevy Volt and Nissan Leaf. already, and these are Q1 numbers for 2013, but it's already outsold them. It's really, and it's showing up on the street. I see it on my way home occasionally. I'll see a couple, not a lot of them, but a couple here and there. Probably the same ones a few times, you know, over and over again. But anyways, I've seen a few of them around. And that says something of a, you know, a vehicle when it's, you know, $70,000 to $100,000.
Yes. Now, this is, I think it's fair to say that this is unprecedented because a lot of people were skeptical, myself included, about the possibility of the Tesla, of Tesla Motors surviving.
Well,
first
sure.
off.
It's an upstart, right? It's a brand new company. Mm-hmm. How many times have we seen something like this happen, especially with somebody in this, this new all electric car field, I guess to say, and it's not really new, I understand that, but a small upstart company like this with this type of product in this climate right now doesn't last very long typically. Tesla's the exception, I guess, in this case, because they have really, they've proven themselves with the Roadster. They've come out with this Model S, and again, a widely accepted, wildly popular model that, you know, a lot of people really, really believe in this. A lot of people really want this to work. They want this to be the one that, that kind of breaks that barrier that makes it, you know, makes it possible, makes it all doable, right?
Yes. And with, again, the focus, the ultimate end game of Tesla being to create all electric cars that are affordable for the average person or family, then if you do buy an electric car, let's say in the next 10 years, then the odds are that it might be somehow related to the Model S, you know?
Could be.
Okay, it could be.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that, you know, even future companies, future endeavors in this field are going to look at the Model S as their, as kind of like the template for them. They're going to say,
that's
like,
what I mean,
they're going to say that this is the way that we need to make this because this worked with the Model S and this is the only one that was able to create something that actually people wanted to buy, that, that this, this system works. This is how we're going to base our business.
And I think it's time we talk about the Model X.
Model X, okay.
Which, so, is clearly has the coolest name.
Yeah, I think it's cool, but, I'm not a fan really of this one. I'll tell you, I like the Roadster, I like the S, I'm not crazy about the X, just because I'm not an SUV fan. But I think a lot of people are really going to enjoy driving an all-electric SUV because they can't give up the, you know, the functional aspects of an SUV.
Right.
You know, they say they can't get a Roadster, obviously, for practical reasons. You know, it's two seats and almost no luggage space or whatever. But if you got an SUV that's all-electric, that's another game, right?
Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, this is a crossover SUV.
Oh, okay. Well, similar. Sure.
Yeah, small, totally similar. Yeah. A little smaller, somewhere between, like, a station wagon and SUV had a kid.
Sure, we can call it that.
Why not?
Yeah, sure, why not? It's a cooler minivan. How about that? is that fair?
Yeah, that is fair. It's tough, but it's fair because that is the truth.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how this is going to work out. I think their production is going to begin in late next year, is that mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah, late 2014 is when they're supposed to start delivering the vehicles. And they're already taking reservations for these things. So, you know, if you want to get in on the ground floor on the Model X, now is the time. You know, go ahead and contact Tesla. You know, they've got a great website, lots of really good information there. We kind of, oh, Ben, I tell you, there is so much information on that site. As you can tell, I mean, can I just say something right now?
Yes.
I'm over here. I'm practically sweating because I'm going through my notes so quickly trying to find all of the stuff that I've got. There was so much on Tesla's site mm-hmm. that I didn't know what to bring in with me today. And when we're talking about all these models, like they're talking about the Model X and, you know, the delivery dates and, you know, the ranges and all the
specs,
battery sizes
yeah.
and the specs and everything, there's so much information on Tesla's site. If you go to teslamotors.com, you can find all of this stuff in a very clear, very concise manner, very, very, you know, all in one place. But we're attempting to go through this Model X model, Model X rather. See, I'm stumbling on all this stuff. The Model X SUV, which hopefully will begin production in 2014, delivered to consumers in 2014. So we're going to start seeing that on the road, kind of like what we're seeing the Model S right now. You know, the early adopters are going to have it first, and we're real early in the Model S production. So we're seeing a few of them on the road, not a lot, but I have a feeling that not too long off from now, we're going to see, especially in a busy metro area like this, we're going to see a lot of Model S vehicles. And I think that, you know, when the Model X comes out, you and I are going to be seeing a lot of those around Atlanta. And anybody that's on maybe one of the coasts, like in LA or over in New York, all along that East Coast, I think you're going to see a lot of the Model X on the roads as well.
And you can look forward to it. Now, you and I are going to be seeing a lot of Teslas because our area has a Tesla dealership.
Correct.
And that leads me to something really important that we have to discuss. But before we discuss it, what are you listening to? You've been listening to something the whole time we're doing this podcast.
Well, it just seems like I'm distracted. I'm distracted by my own, clumsy notes, but, I'm also listening to an audiobook, and I'm not doing it while I'm podcasting. I can guarantee you that. Thanks, Ben, for the mention. But,
this one goes
all the way back to the beginning of the automobile, and a character that you and I like to talk about a lot. It's another Henry Ford topic, and this is a long title. It's called I Invented the Modern Age, The Rise of Henry Ford and the Most Important Car Ever Made. That's a pretty dramatic title, right?
It's a very bold statement.
It's a long audiobook. It's 12 hours and 22 minutes. It's written by a historian. His name is Richard Snow. And it's, of course, Henry Ford's story, some of the commonly told stories. And what I like about this is it's got some of the lesser known stuff that Henry was involved in. And you and I both, that's what we find very, very interesting about Henry Ford, is there's a lot of kind of, I guess, not well-known stuff, you know, the stuff that people don't really like to talk about. But it covers the, you know, his rise to fame through his greatest invention, the Model T, of course. There's lots of scenes and incidents throughout, Ford's life. Everything that, describes everything about who he is and where he came from and how he got there. And how really the Model T shaped the entire world that we live in today. I mean, as far as like the suburbs. I mean, that's part of what Henry Ford helped create with the Model T. Everything in modern cities, is built around this one invention.
I want to hear this book. Now, I'm hoping to be traveling later in the year, and it sounds like this would be a great book to take along with me, around 12 hours. There's nothing better than a good road trip, except maybe a good road trip with some good stories to tell and hear on the way. This is something that our listeners might want to listen to, too. Listen to, too.
It works.
Yeah, we'll keep it. And the best way to do that is to join up with audiblepodcast.com, which is sort of an online market of hundreds of audiobooks.
Hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands. Thank you. I missed the of thousands. Because, if you're driving around, sometimes the radio is just not going to cut it.
How many times
can you hear a Justin Bieber song?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what you're listening to, Ben, but anyways, yeah, you can pick and choose what you listen to. And if you've got, 12 hours and 22 minutes to kill on a road trip, if you like to hear people talk about history and, how this is a perfect example, how it shapes everything all around you, especially on a road trip, right? Not a bad way to do it. And Ben, I've said this before. I'm going to say this again. This particular example, the one I'm talking about, if you were not listening to us right now and to go and get the free download, that we're going to talk about, it's a $27.99 value. So it would normally cost you $28.
Wow.
To download this book. So, just for listening to us, you get this, this trial, or this free download, rather.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't select this one, that's fine. There's, like you said, 100,000 titles to choose from, so.
Right. You just need to go to audiblepodcast.com/carstuff, and you can get a free audiobook download of your choice just for hanging out and listening to our show.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Could be up to $28 value.
Yes.
Actually, you know what? It could go beyond that. I don't know. I'm not sure how much the most expensive book is, but this is a free download, so take advantage of it.
And that brings us to another chapter in Tesla Motors that we have to talk about because it's really exciting. One thing that Tesla does differently from every other company is that they sell their own vehicles directly to consumers. Now, that is a blanket statement. Of course, a lot of people will say, well, no, there are other companies that do that, but they're not doing it in the same way. Tesla owns its own dealerships, which is relatively unusual in the United States. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's illegal in some states.
Mm-hmm. True.
And Tesla has, for instance, been working with Texas to modify the law, right?
I am glad you mentioned Texas because that is a special case. And, you know, I don't even know if I can begin to describe what's going on in Texas, like how you go about getting a Tesla vehicle in Texas. But you can find, if you look up information about that case in specific, you'll find out some of the hoops that you have to jump through in order to do that. And I think they're going to find this in several states along the way as they begin to expand their dealership network. That, you know, they're going to have some troubles with it here and there. But again, that's the whole thing with, you know, the dealerships from other auto manufacturers is that they're, you know, these are privately owned dealerships, really.
Right.
And they're selling to the public. It's completely different from the factory selling direct from their own dealership. And state rules and regulations in some states don't allow for that. So Texas is a fantastic example.
Yeah. North Carolina and New Hampshire, just very recently, in June of this year, did decide to allow Tesla Motors to sell their own vehicles mm-hmm. in their own dealerships. Mm-hmm. Virginia and Texas, though, are still not on board with it. I think that, if I could make a bit of a bold claim here, I think that in retrospect, this is going to be seen as an amazing move by Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, before we continue, I do want to say, now that I've said something glowing, see, Scott, I'm trying to balance everything I'm saying.
Understood.
Now I'm saying something glowing. I do want to point out that Tesla has already had to issue its first recall of a vehicle.
Pretty minor.
Pretty minor, but they did have to do it. So mm-hmm. in 2009, they had to do a safety recall for Roadsters that were manufactured before April 22nd of that year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, again, that's the very first year out of the gate that they had to do this. And it was a minor thing. It wasn't a replacement. It was tightening of some bolts. That's literally all it was.
Yeah, and they found it through, what, you said routine testing? So
yeah.
It's really not anything that, you know, the customer said, hey, I'm having a problem with this. You know, it's causing a safety issue or anything like
that.
They
were proactive.
Exactly. They're very proactive about it, and they did the right thing by issuing this recall and just checking, even if it was tightened down, mm-hmm. they're just checking every single one of them to make sure. It's like, you know, like when you leave the house and you forget if you close the garage door or not, and you have to
better
drive back
turn
and check.
Around.
Yeah, it's like, it causes me to turn around, and that's probably the kind of thing that they're saying too, is like, okay, we know that some of them went out with loose. We've got to check every one of them just to be safe.
And I have one more test. I don't want to call it a Tesla negative. I think this is kind of funny.
What's that?
So, you know, you and I are both big Top Gear fans, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Most of our listeners probably are, too.
Mm-hmm.
So the Tesla Roadster, before it comes out for public consumption in 2009, there's a 2008 episode of Top Gear where Jeremy Clarkson is just dogging the Roadster. You know, it's saying the range is bad, it's 55 miles, and then it shows the car being pushed into a garage.
Oh, boy.
And so, now, Top Gear is, I think, a very humorous show, and that's part of the appeal.
Sure, they're hamming it up a bit.
Yeah, and Tesla Motors tried to sue Top Gear.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Libel.
Oh, boy, we have to...
And
the
BBC.
I have to figure out how I'm going to end this podcast then.
What?
Just in case.
Oh. Tesla Motors did lose the suit. But I think that's just being protective of the image at that time and around the time they came out. So I'm not trying to offend Tesla Motors, nor am I trying to offend Top Gear.
This is funny, Ben. I'm watching you sweat over there.
I'm sweating.
They're not even going to listen to this.
Oh, they're going to listen to it.
I don't know. We'll
see.
So
we will see, but despite all of this, and those are very early, I would typify both of those as growing pains.
Sure.
I think Tesla has a big future ahead of it. Now, granted, I think some of the hype has outgrown itself or been blown out of proportion.
Sure. Yeah.
That's going to happen. But for my money, this is the biggest mover in the business. I don't know if all those claims about Tesla becoming the next Apple are true.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to say something like that would be true. But it is, I think, increasingly safe to say that the next electric car most people are going to buy, if this trend continues, is going to be a Tesla.
That's very likely. You know, can I say something here? Just, I feel like I want to go on to, kind of the wrap up of this whole thing.
Okay.
And I need to talk about the charging stations and, the infrastructure and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to say something first though, because I get a lot of flack, via email and Facebook and whatever. I really do about, anytime we talk about hybrids or all electric cars or whatever, I'll tell you, I'm very pro Tesla, very pro Model S. I think these are really interesting, cool designs. There are just some problems that I can't seem to get over in my head. It's a mental hurdle that I have to get over, to be able to accept this vehicle, you know, to be able to say, like, I may get one of these someday, and but I've got a lot of reasons why I won't. So, you know, if I sound negative about any of this, I don't mean to. I'm just telling you the way I see this stuff that's coming out, okay?
Okay.
And, cause I really do get a lot of hate mail about
this
stuff like this. So
I read a lot of that mail.
I know it. So before we talk about this, just understand that I'm in their corner. It's just, we've got to figure out a way to get around this. Tesla's got to figure out a way to get around this, right?
Okay. Caveat accepted.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about charging.
Yes, because when we talk about charging, we're talking about infrastructure,
which,
as we've talked about, is one of the it can be an elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Anytime you're talking about a new energy source.
Okay. All right. So to date, in the United States, there are 17 Tesla, what they call supercharger stations. There are 8 in California, 2 in Washington State, 1 in Illinois, 2 in Florida, 4 on the East Coast. Okay, and you can look at the map. You can find them on TeslaMotors.com and find out exactly where they are. So you can, you know, figure out where you can drive your Tesla exactly, right? And they've all got ranges listed around them so you can see about how far you can drive, right?
Yeah.
All right. Right now, I'll tell you, it doesn't come even close to covering the United States. They're very centrally located on the coast, I should say,
mm-hmm.
you know, down in the southern tip of Florida. You're not going to be able to get from the southern tip of Florida to the East Coast in a Tesla without a lot of pre-planning and time for charging. But these supercharger stations that they're talking about now, these are kind of the new thing. And Elon Musk is promising, get this, Ben, and I'll tell you about this in a minute. He's promising free travel forever in Tesla models like the Model S. And I know that sounds crazy, but he's promising free travel forever.
Free travel forever.
And I'll tell you how that works. Okay?
I am very interested
in this. All right, so, and I'll get to it, I promise. But as we go through this this supercharger technology, which is new to Tesla, or new to everybody, really,
right.
What it allows you to do is it allows you to make a brief stop at a Tesla supercharger station. You charge the car and go potentially for free at a supercharger, right? You just pull in. It takes something like 20 minutes. And you get a 50% charge on your battery for that 20 minutes, right?
Okay.
So it's like this super fast technology. Now, boy, Elon says that so by buying a Tesla, you have free long distance travel throughout the country forever, and that's how he states it right now. But I just mentioned that they only have 17 of these current supercharger stations to date. Well, the plan is that they're going to triple the number of stations by the end of next month. Which is pretty soon. I mean, that's the end of August, I believe, because this news came out in July. Over the next 6 months, they plan to cover most metro areas. In 1 year, 80% of North America's population will be covered. So that's population centers. Doesn't mean the country itself, but population.
Right.
And then in 2 years, 98% of North America's population will have access to Tesla stations within range of other Tesla stations. So you can drive to and from them, right?
Bold okay. move. Maybe he's the next Edison.
Sounds very good. Now, I mentioned the supercharger stop is 22 minutes, right?
Yes.
Okay, there's an alternative to the supercharger stop at these Tesla stations, and that is a battery swap. And a lot of people who are proponents of electric cars will say that you could do a battery swap quick in these things. Well, that's not always the case because that battery weighs 1,000 pounds.
Yes.
And not everywhere is going to have a battery, right? So Tesla is installing in these stations, these technicians that will allow you to exchange the battery for a fee. It's not free like you know, the supercharger thing is where you charge up to 50% in 20 minutes. This takes 90 seconds, Ben, for them to change a battery in a Tesla Model S. And they can do it for $65 to $80 depending on the battery that you get in the vehicle because it's a 60 kilowatt or an 85 kilowatt battery. So it's, you know, $60 and $80 respectively. The electric battery range is at the best about 300 miles, you know, for the 85 kilowatt version, you know, at 55 miles per hour, optimal conditions, all that, right? It's just, a lot of people have said that maybe that's the way to go, maybe it's not. Is it economical? Because you can pull in and do this in 90 seconds and be on your way.
Right.
Which is great, right?
Yeah.
Or you could pull in for 20 minutes and be 50% charged and go like maybe at the most 150 miles before you need another charge. Well, then charging becomes kind of a problem because then it comes down to, you know, if you're plugging into a standard outlet, it's something like, you know, you charge for, I'm looking for my notes, but you charge for like maybe, an hour and you get like 22 miles out of that, or you charge an hour at a 240 watt station. I'm just making this up because I can't find my notes,
but maybe an
hour at a 240 watt plug and you'll get 31 miles for an hour of charge out of that. So, you know, there's all these variables that come into this whole thing. You got to figure out what's most economical for you. The battery power thing, you know, you got to really plan your trips accordingly for long distance.
Yeah.
It gets to be troublesome. But a lot of people are saying, you know, my gas car gets a 600 mile range, and it costs me, you know, maybe if it's a big tank, $70 to fill it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that'd be 20 gallons at $3.50 a gallon. That's $70, and that's really only getting 30 miles per gallon on the highway. That's not all that uncommon.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get 600 miles out of a tank. So that's twice the range. And I mean, the good part about this is that you can get gasoline anywhere right now. You know, these charging stations, even when they cover all these, you know, all these areas in the States, you still have to plan where you're going to be when the juice runs out. When you have a gasoline powered car, it's pretty much any corner.
Now,
right?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. That's what you're saying. We should also historically consider that when gasoline cars first came out, this was also a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Where would you find the materials necessary to make your engine run? Now, I think that's a very good point, but I think it's a point that is going to change over time if they can, and this is a huge if, Scott, if Tesla Motors really can cover 98% of the United States.
Yeah,
in what, 2 years?
Of the population of the United States.
Okay, yeah.
So there's going to be some open areas.
Yeah.
However, I mean, but I like to take a lot of long road trips. I'm going to have to really plan this out. And the
Montana's
other thing
is going to be rough.
Can I tell you one thing that's kind of shocking about this thing?
What's that?
Shocking. The one thing that's really shocking about this is that, you know, if you do this battery swap, you have to return to the same location to pick up your original battery after you use the rental battery, the borrowed battery. So that's a big problem for a lot of people as well.
If you're on a road trip, then what are you going to do?
Well,
you can't make
a loop then. You have to make a trip that goes back the same direction.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a problem for some people.
That's a logistics problem.
All right. And one more last thing. And
okay.
So there's a lot to do with the charging, and I've got more to say about it than that, but we're running kind of long. So let me kind of get into this here. If you go to the Tesla site, and this is, I'm afraid, Ben, this is another one where I'm a little bit doubtful about things. But they have the prices listed, and you can price your own vehicle, your own model and everything, and
sure,
all the options and features and everything. However, they've got this thing where if there's the estimated payment, which is, you know, your normal monthly payment, and then they have something called effective monthly cost. And to me, this is deceptive. I don't know if you looked at this online or not, but to me, it's very deceptive because the effective monthly cost is the one that's big and bold, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's right above the buy it now button.
Yeah.
Or the order the car button.
And this is about how much money you're going to save versus an ICE car.
That's right. And you can start to, you know, if you go down the page, you select the vehicle that you want, and it gives you the effective payment and then the estimated payment, which is really the amount you're going to pay.
Mm.
So in this case, like, I've got a couple of examples, but, and I don't want to spend too much time on these, but I'll tell you that, like, the effective payment for the 60 kilowatt vehicle is $579, but your actual payment is going to be $916 a month.
That's a big discrepancy.
And I know that's for the car that's $71,000. And that's not changing anything on the whole sheet there.
Okay.
If you go down and you can select a lot of different things like business expenses and, you know, what you can write off and what you value your time at, and you can vary all these different things. So like if you value your time at $50 an hour,
Okay.
Then they figure out how much you save by not having to go to the gas station and spend 10 minutes standing at the gas pump. So there are things like that that add into this, and everything brings down the effective cost. And I tell you, you can get the effective cost down to, you know, anywhere to, you know, maybe a $100 a month for the effective cost. And that seems, you know, that plays a little trick on my mind.
Because, it seems a bit disingenuous.
Because I'm really going to be writing a check for $916 each month for that thing. Mm-hmm. And that's with a 72-month lease.
No.
Not a lease. 72 months, purchase plan.
Now that's, That might be the salespeople working some magic there. I think that is disingenuous. That kind of stuff happens on a lot of manufacturer sites. And to me, that makes it a little bit less trustworthy because it's like, oh, come on, guys. That's kind of smoke and mirrors, you know.
It's a tiny bit deceptive to me. I mean, it really is.
It is a little bit.
And I understand. I mean, if you're careful about reading things, and I would hope that somebody who's buying a new car is careful about reading things, that you know, that you would understand, you know, the difference in this. And I mean, when you get up to the one that's, you know, $100,000 base or $96,000 for the base price, I mean, the payments really are going to be something like, you know, $1,200 for this thing. It's going to be very, very expensive, but you can get the effective cost down to $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it all depends on all of these little boxes and things that you tick off and what you determine as the value of your time.
$50,000 every 15
minutes. Well, you know, there's a lot of things like that. And I've got a short list of, I don't know, just issues, problems, things like that that I want to cover, but you've got one more thing there, and
I've got like two more things.
Okay, how about let's do that because I'm
okay.
I feel like I could go on. And
I
on
gotta save. I got. I, okay, here's the deal. I'll do one thing, then you do the list, then I'll end on something that is
hopefully positive,
tangentially related, and positive.
Oh, good.
So first, let's talk about the future. I don't think it would be fair to close on Tesla Motors unless we talk about the future as well. More and more, I like this. I like this Tesla guy, Elon Musk. I think that he has the vision necessary to be an Edison or a Ford. Even
I totally agree.
And I think that, you know, of course, he might not really enjoy the comparison to Edison because he did name his company Tesla, and that's. I fully understand that. Please don't sue me. But this guy is a dynamo, you know. He's got some big plans, and he's been able to follow through on a lot of these.
How many electric references are you going to drop in this?
Dynamo.
Very nice.
I have a list.
Yeah.
Don't act like you didn't drop that shocking joke earlier.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
So one of the new things that he announced that are pretty cool, they want to come out with a Tesla truck, which would be, if they do it correctly, a successful.
I like that idea.
Full electric truck. Mm-hmm. Now, we know that there have been, what's the nicest way to say it? Successful attempts at full electric pickup trucks.
Sure.
And then there's the Model S hidden valet mode. Did you hear about this one?
I did not.
With a software update that they're hoping to give it a valet mode, which they've been kind of on the hush-hush about, but I think the idea ultimately is to respond to the new autonomous driving stuff,
features
that are coming out for the Audi and
very cool. So a self-driving Tesla,
right? A Tesla with a little genie in a bottle who will park your car when you're too busy at the supercharging station, Then he's got, you know, you already let the cat out of the bag on this one, the Tesla Roadster Surprise. Mm-hmm. This, I think, I believe that the ability to charge and travel for free forever, I believe that that is a thank you to the owners of the Roadsters. I don't know if it's going to apply to the Model S.
Okay.
Nor to the X, nor to this Tesla truck, whatever it ends up being called. So there are big things. Again, there are a lot of ifs whenever we talk about the future. I do want to say that, to pass the ball here, I do want to point out that Tesla recently had, at the time of this recording, had garnered quite a bit of praise for paying off their government loans. Do you remember that?
I do.
The way they paid them off was that Elon Musk took over it and paid himself, which is a very Henry Ford thing to do. And this company, while any electric car at this point is going to have a huge amount of obstacles ahead of it, this company is one of the companies that is really cracking the case. And it makes it easier for me to see a future with electric cars that aren't just expensive toys, which, fair. Let's be honest, quite a few are.
That's fair enough. Yeah, I totally see that. I mean, like, we've talked about all the failed attempts that we've seen in the past, the Aptera, what are some of the other ones? Anyways, we've seen other vehicles that just haven't ever really come to fruition, I guess, the way that Tesla has. I mean, the with the success they've got with, you know, the Roadster and the Model S, and then hopefully with the Model X as well. I really do hope that they're successful from this point forward.
I think it's the right car at the right time.
I do, and I agree with you about everything you're saying about the CEO there too. I mean, I totally agree. He's charismatic. He's got, the right idea. I think that they've got, they're on the right path. The problems, the only things that I wanted to talk about, the issues that I think, that I see right now. I mean, claims like the free charging, you know, at Tesla supercharging stations forever. I just don't see how that's possible. I mean, someone's got to pay for that.
They're also not making a very big profit margin at all per unit.
That's true. Okay. So maybe they're wrapping it in somehow like that, but I have a sinking bad feeling that it's somehow, you know, and maybe I'm way off, but maybe it's—I don't know. I'm not even going to say it, but I think that I have a feeling that the money's coming from elsewhere. That, it's maybe not the most convenient option at this time, because we talked about, you know, the lack of charging stations completely covering the country.
Mm-hmm.
The going from one location to the next may be very difficult, or you have to exceptionally
take longer because you might have to stop and plug into a
It adds a whole new level to any kind of family trip or road trip that you're on. It's maybe just not the most convenient. That's probably the nicest way to say it at this point. Very, very expensive also. I mean, and I'm going to say this early on, and I know that, you know, it's going gangbusters right now, but, it's still sort of a gamble at this point. And if you buy an all-electric vehicle at this point, I still see it as a bit of a gamble, and it's an expensive gamble.
It is.
It's not something, you know, to be taken lightly when you're spending $100,000 on a sedan that, you know, you don't have any other hope than, you know, they're going to install a charging station nearby, or that, you know, you can, you know, somehow maintain this thing through your own home outlets or, you know, whatever, through the existing power grid. And the last thing is that I just see so many, and this is, it should be a positive, Ben, but it's not to me. I see a lot of promises coming out of this company, that I just don't know if they're going to honor everything. And I hope they do. I really do. But I'm just so cautious about it because of everything we've heard in the past, you know, with all these other companies. But they're guaranteeing resale values of the cars. They're saying that you might get,
I don't know about that.
They're saying you're going to get money back possibly when you trade the car in. They're saying that, you know, they're going to install this network of charging stations and the superchargers, and you know, there's going to be the battery swap option available, and, you know, the pricing is going to be free for travel across the U.S. and all this. So I just really hope that they honor all these. And the other thing is, like, the numbers, they seem just a bit deceptive in the pricing. And I've really tried to think about it, and I've looked at the site often. I've gone back to the pricing area a lot of times and kind of played around with, you know, what state that I would be buying the vehicle in, and, you know, how much I value my time at, and, you know, all of that stuff. And the pricing just seems a little bit iffy to me. And I don't know why that is, but it's just something in the back of my head that's telling me something about this isn't right.
I see. So this might, you're saying, like, this is a lot of talk, and we're going to have to see the walk.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, exactly. I just want to see them back it up, and you know, I really, really hope that they do. I really want them to succeed. I do.
Yeah, I do too. And here's the thing that, now I said this would be positive. I was messing with you a little bit, man. Some recent statements of my new hero, Elon Musk, have persuaded me that he might have an entirely different end game in mind, because I don't know if you've checked out some of the recent proposals he's made, but he would like to build what's speculated to be a new public transit system across the United States. Did you hear about this?
No. No, I did not.
So he might be shooting himself in the foot with this, but the idea is a friction-free 300-mile-an-hour plus bullet train equivalent, which we have talked about before in multiple podcasts.
Just focus on the cars for now.
I know. It's like a finish your breakfast situation.
Yes, please, right? please just finish this one project first.
I'll tell you what, though. The moment it becomes affordable for someone like me to buy a Model S or a Model whatever they're going to be, I'm going to get one. I just want to see what happens. I feel safe saying that because, just to be honest, when it gets to the point where someone like me can afford a Model S, it'll be tried and true. I'll be able to buy one used.
Sure.
I'll be able to haggle with the dealer.
Understood.
But that is where we end our story on Tesla Motors.
Do we have to end it? I mean, I know we have to end it because of time, but I've got a sea of notes around me. I don't want to go through any more of it, but man, I think that almost some of these topics that I've got here could almost be a show in themselves. So there may be some more Tesla related topics to come up, stuff that we didn't get to cover in today's podcast. How about that?
Excellent point. Okay. Then what we'll do is we will officially call this podcast Tesla 101.
Fair
enough.
And
then we'll go into some other ones in the future. So you guys, thanks so much for listening to us on Tesla. We hope that we gave you an okay idea of the company, the people behind it, the models they've made so far, their plans for the future, and their ambitions. And as for whether or not those ambitions will work out, you'll just have to tune in next time. Let us know if there's anything specifically you'd like to know about Tesla Motor Company that we didn't touch on today. You can drop us a line on Facebook, give us a holler on Twitter, or you can send us an email directly. It doesn't need to be hate mail.
Yeah, please don't.
Oh, yeah, please don't, because we are on Tesla's team.
the hybrid stuff has got me in trouble in the past, and I don't want it to be that way with this one. I'm very pro Tesla, so keep the emails light.
It's the old question, though. You know, how do you build a million gas stations?
Hey, look, I have questions. I've got a lot of questions. So I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with
that. There's nothing. It kills me that you're beating yourself
up. I guess the other side of the scale. I'm the balance, right? I
mean, you're the balance.
The ballast, I guess. We're talking it out here.
The yin to the yang.
That's what we're doing. We're just talking it out.
We're talking it out, and we'd like to talk it out with you. If you'd like to join the conversation, please do. Send us an email at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.